All right. All right, turn your Bibles. We have the book of Daniel. Daniel. We're going to be looking at a little bit of scripture tonight, and we're going to be looking at Daniel's four beasts that he talked about in Daniel chapter 7. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 8 tonight, but then we're also going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 and 45, and but go to Daniel chapter 7 first. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Daniel chapter number 7. I've been doing a study through the book of Daniel, and this morning I gave a message on Daniel, and he was beloved by God. And tonight, now we're going to be looking at the four beasts in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, you there yet, Chuck? We're going to start verse 1. We're going to go from 1 through 8. It says, in the first year, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and the man's heart was given it. And behold, another beast, the second like a bear, and it is raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth and between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of the four wings of a fowl. The beast also had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw a night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, man, and a mouth speaking great things. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct in what we learn tonight, that we can use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, here we see that there was a dream or a vision that Daniel had, and it was of these four beasts. Now, there's many people that believe that these four beasts that is talked about in Daniel are the same four beasts that are talked about in the book of Revelation, but I don't believe they are, and I'm going to show you why tonight. In the book of Revelation, as we're going to see Wednesday night, there is a there's a lion, there's an eagle, there's a there's a lion, an eagle, an ox, and a man. Those are the four that are going to be in the book of Revelation that we're going to see this next Wednesday night. Now here in Daniel, we see four separate different beasts that are not the same as what they are in Revelation, but there are some commentators that try to bring these in together, and I don't believe that they're the same, and I'm going to show you why tonight. But I want to take and I'd like to make clear tonight, before we get into the throne room, of what the throne room is all about this coming Wednesday night. There'll be a PowerPoint on this Wednesday night, if I'm here. Hopefully I'll be here. But I have a PowerPoint done on the throne room, so you have an idea of what the throne room looks like. And each thing in the throne room that John explains in Revelation chapter 4, we're going to go through, and I'm going to explain what it means and what each thing is in it. It all has a simplistic value to it. Now, there are some very important things that we need to look at before we get into the four beasts in chapter 7. Turn back in your Bibles, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 37 to 45. Now, Daniel had had told Nebuchadnezzar in verses 31 to 34 what it was that he saw in his vision. If we remember this morning, I talked a little bit about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the image. And he couldn't remember what it was, and the wise men couldn't remember what it was, the sorcerers couldn't remember what it was, and he was going to kill them all. We talked about that this morning. And Daniel went and prayed. He prepared himself, and he prayed, and he asked God to take and show him what the interpretation was, and God did. And so this is going to be the sum of the interpretation that we're going to be reading tonight. It says, starting in verse 37, it says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of man dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over all. Thou art the head of gold." So here we see that the head of gold was who? Nebuchadnezzar. He was the head of gold, or the top of the statue was Babylon. Okay, then we go down to verse 39. It says, "And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, to another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." Now, we know that the first kingdom was who? Babylon, right? That was the first. That was the first kingdom that was mentioned, was Babylon. Remember that. The second one, it says, "And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee." That is going to be the Medes and the Persians. Okay, that's the next kingdom, is the Medes and the Persians. Then after the Medes and the Persians comes the third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth, and that is the empire of the Greeks, or the Grecians. That was Greece's empire. And then in verse 40, it says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall be broken in pieces and bruised." And whereas, okay, now this is the fourth kingdom. The fourth kingdom would be Rome. Okay, that's the Roman Empire. All right? So now here we see Babylon, we see the Medes and the Persians, we see Greece, and we see Rome, the Roman Empire. Now, Daniel had no idea of all these other empires that he was explaining, because he was living in the Babylonian Empire. These were all prophecy, or these were all things to come yet that he had no idea. Now, verse 31 or 41, it says, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, as the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a minute, because there's some things in here that we need to understand. Now, he's talking, how many toes do you have? 10 toes. Okay, what's going to happen? You only have 6? Oh, but, okay, so there's going to be 10 kingdoms that came out of the Roman Empire. And that's exactly what there was. There was 10 kingdoms that came out of the Roman Empire, and what they were the 10 generals of the Roman Empire. And each of the generals took part of the Roman Empire, and that was their empire. Now, some of them were strong, and some of them were weak. The strong ones lasted a long time. The weak ones did not last that long. And that was what the clay and the iron was all about. Now, let's keep going here in verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king that shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, we're going to be looking at some really cool stuff tonight. And we're going to be looking at the two of these visions together. Now, the first vision was given to who? Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, he was a king of Babylon. Now, he couldn't interpret it. He couldn't find anybody to interpret it. So God brought Daniel to interpret it. Now, what we need to realize is that it was given, the first dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar. And we need to understand that, because it was not given to Daniel at first, it was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we're going to take and we're going to look at this a little bit. Daniel, he interprets the king's dream. The head of gold was the kingdom of Babylon. This is one of the greatest and richest kingdoms to ever be upon the earth. The kingdom had been one of the powerhouses of the whole world. God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be one of the greatest kings and most powerful kings of all times. You know, this was a kingdom of God, believe it or not. God allowed this kingdom to happen. If you think of Israel, Israel was a great kingdom. When Solomon was living, he had a good kingdom, but he had no kingdom that even held a candle to what Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was like. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was the richest kingdom ever to be upon the face of the earth. And I'm going to show you why here in just a little while. But the second kingdom then was going to be more inferior than the first. As we know today, this was the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. This kingdom was not so as great as it was. It wasn't such a powerhouse as and rich as what Babylon was. The third kingdom was going to be the Grecian kingdom and or empire. And we realized that the Grecian empire was very great and powerful. This kingdom was conquered by who? Who was the conqueror of the Grecian empire? Who? Nope. Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. Okay, he was the one that was, during Alexander the Great time, he conquered a lot of the world. Now, so here we see that then the fourth empire was going to be the Roman Empire. This was going to be a great and powerful kingdom, but it was going to be much less inferior to that of Nebuchadnezzar. It was not going to be as rich, it was not going to be as powerful, and it was not going to be as great. Each one of those kingdoms were going to lose more and more of its influence as time went on. Now, the last of the ten toes were going to come out of the last kingdom. Many believe that this is were the ten kingdoms that were split off the Roman Empire. And we're going to be looking at these a little bit deeper as we get into the other vision, the next vision. And because there's some very interesting things in here that I want to show you on this part of it. But some of the kingdoms were strong, some were weak, some lasted a long time, and others did not. Others lasted just a very, very, very short time. Now, we want to take a look at chapter 7 now for a while, because chapter 7 is Daniel's vision. Now, this is, believe it or not, it's a lot the same as what Nebuchadnezzar's was, but there is a lot of difference also, and we're going to see that as we get through it. And this is why I wanted to bring it in tonight, because I can see some of the things that people think that it was of the four beasts in Revelation, but it really isn't. And I'm going to show you why. Verse 4 of chapter 7. We're going to start there. And, let's go back to verse 3, and it says, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." Now, there's some really important things in this verse. You notice that this verse has a lot of difference than what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. You know, there's a lot of things that were different in here, and I'm going to explain them here in a minute. But this kingdom is the kingdom of Babylon that it's talking about. And notice how Daniel explains what the king or the first kingdom is. He said that it was a what? It was a lion. Okay, what is the king of beasts? A lion. Okay, so he's saying that this first beast that he sees is a lion, and that represents the Babylonian kingdom. Now, if you take and you look at that, you see that there's some things that Daniel says in there. This kingdom of a lion represents the greatest kingdom ever to be upon the face of the earth, most powerful kingdom ever, and the richest kingdom. Now, notice some things that are in that, and I want to take a look at this in depth, but he says, "And behold, I saw the wings that were plucked off," or that were plucked. "I saw the wings till they were plucked." What happens when you pluck wings? It can't fly, can it? So it stays where it is. It does not have the whereabout to fly from place to place. What that represented is that Nebuchadnezzar was going to have his wings clipped, and that he was going to be satisfied with the kingdom that he was given, and he was not going to conquer any more of the known world. The world that he had right then, or the kingdom that he had, was what he was going to be with from there on. Now,
So that's what that is talking about, having his wings clipped, so to speak. You know, we hear wings clipped. That's kind of where it came from, getting your wings clipped. But now, not only that, but if you take a look at what else it says in there, it says that he stood up. He's no longer in a crouched position ready to fight. You know, he's no longer down ready to fight. He's stood up. That means he's all done fighting. That means the fight is all over. He's not going to go any farther. Then if you go down a little bit farther, it says he received a heart of a man was given to him. The heart of a man. What is the heart of a man? The heart of a man is pity or being contrite. The heart of a warrior is what? Fighting and going forward and conquering. And that was no longer in this lion. This is no longer in Babylon. This is no longer in Nebuchadnezzar. Now, let's go to verse 5. And it says, and behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, notice, this beast was like a what? A bear. Now, what's the difference between a bear and a lion? Okay. A lion is a lot faster, isn't it, than a bear? A lion is smaller than a bear, but is more fierce than a bear. A lion will kill a bear. A lion will kill a bear. And so we see that the animal is less fierce than what the first one was. We see that this new empire or this new kingdom that's going to come in is going to be inferior to the first kingdom. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was great. He had power. He had money. He had everything that he wanted. And now this next kingdom was not going to be quite as great as what Babylon was. Now this kingdom, was, we know now, is the Medes and the Persians. We know that this second kingdom was going to be the Medes and the Persians. Now, notice that there are three ribs in its mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but I like ribs. Amen? I like smoked ribs, barbecued ribs. I like any kind of ribs there are. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I was thinking about next Sunday with Western Sunday. We're going to have smoked ribs here on Sunday after church. And man, we're going to have a great, great meal and stuff. And I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking he had to be a pretty good bear to have three full ribs in his mouth. And these ribs, the only thing I can explain these ribs are, is the ribs of a cow. And they're about this wide. And they're full of meat. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, that had to be a big bear. You know, and then there was a voice that said, devour this meat. What it's talking about is devouring the territory or the countries that you are fighting. Totally annihilate them. Destroy them to where there's nothing left. You know, it doesn't make any difference how much wealth, how much prestige you have. You do not want your enemy to live. And that is exactly what Alexander the Great did. If you go through history books and you read of the conquests of Alexander the Great, you'll see that when he went into an area, there was no man, woman, child, or animal left living when he walked back out. Nothing was left. And that's what this is talking about. It's saying that the third great empire was going to totally annihilate everything that was in its path. And that's exactly what the Grecians did. They took care of everything. There was nothing left. In fact, in the kids' history books, I think it was in American World History, it talked about the wars of Alexander and how cruel he was, and how that when he went into an area, if he went into a town or something, and he was in there and he came back out, there was absolutely nothing left of the town. He burned everything. He killed everything. And there was not one thing left living when he walked out and his armies walked out of that town. Verse 6. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, this is very interesting. Here we see that, think for just a minute about a leopard. What is a leopard? What's the difference between a leopard and a lion? Smaller but faster, isn't it? Smaller but faster. A leopard is one of the fastest cats there are. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that this leopard had wings on its back. Now, this third kingdom is going to conquer as much of the known world as swiftly as it possibly could. Now, we need to realize that, this is the Grecian Empire. The second one was not. That was Mede and Persia. I'm sorry, I'm one ahead of myself. But this one here was going to conquer. Now, notice what it has. It has the wings of what?
Fowl.
Yep,
not an eagle.
Okay.
Fowl is a water
tree, a water bird. Okay, or?
A pheasant? Right.
Or?
Right. Dove, quail.
Quail, yep. Dove? Okay, now think about those birds. They're fast flyers. They're very, very fast flyers. They're real rapid flyers. They're not like an eagle. They're not like a, they're not like a vulture who have long wings and slow flyers. These, they're gone. Yeah, and that's the kind of wings that this leopard had on it. And what it represents is that this empire was going to wipe out everything in front of it very quickly. It was going to go from point A to point B, just boom, right now, and was going to take everything in its path. But it was going to do it very rapidly. It was going to conquer more area of the world faster than anything else had ever been conquered before. And that's what Alexander the Great basically did. His armies rolled over everything right now. It was like a steamroller going over the land. Now, let's keep going here. We're doing good so far. Now, but we need to realize that, as we know through history, this empire grew very quickly, and it was one of the greatest empires that would ever rule in the known world. However, it was no comparison to what Babylon was. The empire grew so rapidly and the power was great, but it was not as great and as powerful as what Babylon was, or the Medes and the Persians. Now we get into verse 7. And after this, I saw in a night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, horrible, strong exceedingly, and it had iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. What's that? You know it? Which one is it? This one? No. Okay, this one here is the same one that was in Daniel chapter 2. This is the 10 toes. It's got 10 horns now. Okay? Now, if you go back to Revelation, or in chapter 2, you'll see that the toes had 10 toes. Now it has 10 horns. Now, there's some interesting things that are going to be with this here, and we're going to, I don't know for sure if we're going to have time to do it all tonight or not, because I'm running out of time real fast. But here we see that this four empire was, some of you may have already guessed it, is the Roman Empire, and that's what it was. Because look what it said. It said it's iron teeth. Now, what we need to realize is that the Roman Empire was one of the most corrupt, however, it was one of the most industrious empires ever to rule the world. The Roman Empire rolled with iron chariots. They had iron chariots. They were hard to beat. They were just like a tank. And they could not be battled against. And the Roman Empire just rolled over everything with these iron chariots. Now, you know, they took what they wanted, and they didn't look back at life or liberty. Everything was for Rome and for Rome only. You know, many hundreds of thousands of people, young, old, lost their lives to the Roman army as they rolled over the what was known the known country at that time with their iron chariot and their hundreds of thousands in their army. We need to realize the Roman army was innumerable, the amount of soldiers they had and what they did. Now, I want to, it said that it had 10 horns. Now, we're going to be looking at these horns here real quickly because we're just about out of time. But go to verse 8. It says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. 10 horns on this beast. Now, we want to look at these horns. Now, as we recall from the image in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, we said the 10 toes were what? 10 kingdoms that came out of the Roman Empire, right? Now, these 10 horns, believe it or not, are the same 10 as what the 10 toes were. However, there are many that believe these 10 are still in power today. Now, if you go and you look at the European Union, the EU, back in 1993, there was only 10 countries in the European Union. Now, today in 2020, there's 27 countries in the EU. But of the 27, there's still only 10 of those that have the majority of the power. Now, we need to realize that I don't believe that these 10, that the 10 toes and the 10 horns are exactly the same, but they could be. Now, what I'm looking at here is this one little horn. You notice it says one little horn there? Now, I want to look at this little horn for just a couple minutes, and then we're going to be out of time. But in the beginning, the horn is very small and insignificant. If you take a look at that verse 8 again, it says, and I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and the horn had eyes and it had a mouth to speak many things. Now, this little horn is the one that's important. And the reason I say that is this little horn comes up and it's very insufficient. Nobody even notices it at first, this little horn. Now, as this little horn grows, it starts wiping out three great nations. It takes three great nations out, or three kingdoms out. It wipes out three of them. Now, it becomes very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. This one little horn becomes very powerful. Now, as time goes on, this little horn becomes more and more powerful. It destroys more and more. Now, this little horn is the kingdom which is coming in the future. This kingdom is not yet, but it's coming in the future. Now, this little horn is the kingdom of the Antichrist and the beast during the tribulation time. And we're going to see this again in our study in Revelation. And we're going to look at this in depth in the book of Revelation as we go through it. And that's why I wanted to bring it in tonight, was that you're going to see this again as we go through the book of Revelation. Because this little horn is the one that's going to rise and wipe out all of the rest of them. And it's going to be interesting as we go through the book of Revelation to see how important the book of Daniel really is towards what is going to happen in the future. So, and I'm out of time. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this study. I just pray, Lord, that you take and be with us, guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. Father, I love you. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct me, and I'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you are dismissed.